Good evening. This is the meeting of the Pacifica National Board Elections Committee. It's December 23rd, 2015. This is the Chair, Bob Lederer, and let me ask our Secretary, Michael Novick, to please call the roll.
Okay, Riley Abbott. Teresa Allen. We got a conflicting meeting. Jim Brown. Might be muted.
Present.
Maria Elena Castellanos.
Here.
Janet Coleman. Marianne Douglas Ungaro.
Here.
Jose Luis Fuentes Roman. Not yet. Tej Graywell. Mark Hernandez. Cynthia Johnson. Janet Coburn.
Present.
Bob Lederer, the chair, is here. Frank Lefever. No, this is Michael Novick, the secretary. Lawrence Reyes. Is that you, Lawrence?
Yes, I said present.
Yeah, okay. Serene Roberts.
Present.
Nancy Saibara Naritomi.
Present.
And Peter Tucker.
Present.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That's a quorum of our 18 members.
Okay, thank you. All right, so let's first see who can be the timekeeper tonight. Can I get a volunteer?
Okay,
Nancy will.
Okay,
Colin. Okay, all right, thanks, Nancy. And thanks, Marion. All right, so the proposed agenda is first report from the National Election Supervisor on next steps in the process with a Q&A for 30 minutes, and she did tell me she will come on, but a little bit late, so we can move some, we could move up the minutes if she's still not here when we're ready. Two is an update on the WPFW delegate term situation from the people on this call who are from that station. I'm suggesting 5 minutes. Number three is setting the next meeting date for the Elections Committee for 5 minutes. Four is review and approval of 5 sets of minutes for 5 minutes. And five is discussion of additional cost-cutting measures for 30 minutes with the time certain adjournment at 10:30 p.m. Eastern. So are there any amendments to that agenda?
Marty Elena here.
Yes.
I suggest that we add on clarifying exactly now what a quorum is for this Elections Committee.
Okay. We can make that the first item. Is there any objection to adding that as a, let's say, a 3-minute agenda item? Okay, hearing none, that's added. Any other amendments to the agenda?
Nancy,
yes.
I have a question. I don't know if this is a good for agenda item or if this already somebody, it's, the answer is already there, but we may have possible vacancies to fill, and we don't have any runners-up. Is it possible that we can have a candidate, a present candidate, fill a vacancy? Is that
okay,
legal?
Okay, so you want to discuss that question.
Yes. I don't know the answer.
Yeah, we can add that to the agenda. Let's see.
I mean, way down the list, because there might be, it's not that important, but.
Right. Does anyone think there's a reason not to pose that question to the National Election Supervisor when she's on the call tonight?
Maria Elena here.
Go ahead, Maria Elena.
I think someone else wanted to speak first.
Yeah, this is Jim.
Okay.
We had that problem even last year. So what we did was to go back to the bylaws, and the bylaws said that we could elect people from the community once the LSB has certified them.
Okay, hang on, Jim. We're not getting into the substance of the question right this minute. We're just deciding how to handle this on the agenda. So who wanted to address the question whether to just pose this to the NES? Was that
Serene?
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't see why it's an NES question.
Okay. All right, so why don't we make it a freestanding agenda item for after the PFW situation. So
Nancy has another item agenda to ask the NES, if y'all think it's a good thing. I really wish that the CART schedules would be published somewhere so we could check the air and these archives to make sure that they're being played at the right times, and if they're not, then we can send an email to the LES and NES to help.
I think that's a fine thing to bring up during the NES Q&A.
Okay. And one, a list of the staff voters in the station. I just wanted to know, is that an order from the NES or?
Yeah. Well, actually, I asked about that last time. So why don't you go ahead and ask, you know, your follow up as to the status of that.
Okay.
When she's on the call.
When would you just Q&A? Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Any other amendments to the agenda?
Oh yeah, one might more.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Colored envelopes. I don't think we ever discussed with her. It really helps when, you know, some people when they get in the mail.
You don't have to get into it now.
Okay.
You can ask it as a question.
Yeah.
Okay. Maria Elena.
Discussion of a couple of possibilities or actual instances where it appears that election candidates are abusing their family relationships with programmers. I don't know how else to phrase that.
Okay.
Can you please repeat that? I didn't hear that clearly.
To clarify what the election rule would be with regard to disallowing candidates from abusing their family relationship with a programmer.
Okay.
Okay. All of these types of things, at least as I see it, are questions for the NES. And if we need to extend the 30 minutes, we can certainly do that. So is there any other distinct agenda item that someone wants to add? Okay. Hearing none, let me read back how the agenda would now read. It would be, number one, clarifying the quorum requirement for 3 minutes. Two, the report from the NES and the Q&A for 30 minutes. Three, the update on the WPFW situation, 5 minutes. Four, the question about the KPFT vacancy for 5 minutes. Five, setting the next meeting date for our committee for 5 minutes. Six, review and approval of minutes for 5 minutes. And seven, discussion of additional cost-cutting measures for 30 minutes. So is there any objection to that? Actually, since L. Joy has not joined us yet, why don't we amend this right now and start with the two things that we don't need her to be on for, which is the review and approval of minutes and then the KPFT vacancy. Is there any objection to making those the first two items? Oh, and the clarifying the quorum, actually. Let's do it after that. Okay, any objection? All right, hearing none, then that's the agenda. So let's start with the quorum question. We have 18 members officially on our roster, although I heard from the WPFW people tonight that Riley, I don't remember his last name, he has resigned. Is that
Abbott.
Accurate? What is his full name, and did he resign?
Riley Abbott.
Yes. And he did indeed resign from the LSP.
This is Pete Tucker.
Yes.
It's on prayer. But
go ahead, Pete.
Yeah, this is Benito was saying. It's not 100% clear at this point. We have to get confirmation of that.
Okay. All right. So he's still on the committee until we get notified that he is no longer. But in any case, as of tonight, then we count 18 members. There are clearly some who have not attended for a while, and so there is a requirement under PNB rules, motions, that if anyone misses three successive meetings, actually after the second successive meeting, they should be contacted by the chair or the secretary of the committee, and by both email and phone, and warned that if there's a third instance, they will be automatically removed. So it sounds like we really need, we're a little perhaps behind on that, and we need to activate that provision in the cases where it's necessary. But so hopefully by next meeting, we'll have a clarified list of people who are current in their in meeting the requirements for attendance, and then that may reduce the quorum somewhat. Or those people may decide to come back when they receive the warning. One way or the other, we should be in, you know, a more correct position by the next meeting. So,
point of order?
Yes. Go ahead.
Do we have right now any verifiable listing of folks who have already missed two successive meetings?
Yeah, Michael has been keeping those records as secretary, so he can, Michael, if you could just go over those records after the call, you know, sometime in the next week or so, and then I can work with you on, you know, contacting folks.
Yeah, I have to check the audio because I left the last call, so I'm not absolutely sure who was there. I haven't had a chance to go back, but I will review that on the KPFTX, and then I can produce a table.
Thank you. Okay, did that answer your question, Maria Elena?
Yes, but of course, it delays the action that we can take right now in terms of clarifying.
Hi, this is Eljoy Williams.
Hi, Eljoy. Thanks for joining us. Go ahead, just finish, Maria Elena.
A question then for Michael is, would it be at all possible for you to review any records you might have on your computer now before the end of this meeting to suggest or to indicate that there who may have missed the past two or has missed two successive meetings?
Well, depending who was at the last meeting, as I say, I'm not sure, but Frank LaFever has missed many meetings. Mark Hernandez has missed many meetings. Riley Abbott, I think, came to one and hasn't been back.
Well, the thing is, at this point, we do have quorum, so it really doesn't matter what the situation is as of tonight's call, because either way, we move forward, and we have full power to take binding votes, et cetera. So, but, you know, as long as Michael can work on it in the next short period of time, then, you know, we can, by the time of the next meeting, we can make sure that we have the proper quorum that, you know, that's in order. So let's move on. We have the National Election Supervisor with us. We would like to invite you again to make a report on where the election process is at and then to have Q&A. We'll start with about 30 minutes.
Sure. It's going to be brief. If I go on, please forgive the baby in the background. We're right smack in the middle of her bottle time, I'm going to do my best to give a report and make a bottle and feed her at the same time. So, those of you may have received email already. Based upon information that, can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Based upon the information that I received from the Pacifica stations and from the executive director, I was told that the stations will be able to put forth the necessary deposit to move forward with the election process on October 1st. And then after consultation with the vendors, which included the mail house and online vendor, as well as my calendar in order to finish the process, we have therefore updated the remainder of the election calendar. The new voter date of record is August 17th. I've already instructed the stations to give an updated list based upon that. I will produce the updated figures once I have all of the station member lists. And part of that also, I will include just a breakout of how many people would be losing voter access because the voter data record has changed. So that'll be produced as soon as I can get the list from the stations. I'll just have under 2 weeks to then get the list ready to move forward with the rest of the election process. The voting period itself will be from October 15th through December 4th. Ballots will be in the mail, and all right voting will begin on October 15th and will end on December 4th. Following that, as long as no station needs an additional time to meet quorum, we should have the results and the certification of the election by on or before December 19th. So
as long as the fact.
Okay, let's let El Joy finish her report, and then
can she just repeat the last dates?
This was also emailed, but the last date is that providing that no station needs an extension because they did not meet quorum, the election results will be certified on or before December 19th. Okay. So over the next, I would say, week and a half, although I've been working very diligently to do the advance work for the printing and mailing of the ballots, most of the content is already done. The only last thing to do is the appeal letter that Pacifica normally includes in the mailing. So that will be worked on over the next couple of days, in addition to me doing a very accelerated process on the voter list to make sure that we have that process. In addition, posted the beginning of next week at each of the stations will be the list of staff that we have that was reported to us, both paid and unpaid staff. That way, if there is anyone missing, we'll have a window. If anybody wants to, appeal their as from a staff perspective, we'll be able to do that. So it'll be all of the LESs have been instructed. We will post that information at the stations. As anyone who wants to appeal, whether their name is missing, will have the opportunity to do so. In addition, those who have signed up to forego getting the mail ballot, we will be indicating that on the voter list. I'll produce a memo that will be posted on the website as well about how many people at each station did so in order to get that done. And there will be another email sent to anyone we have email addresses for on the voter list, asking them to opt in to the online voting before the deadline, before I need to send all of the information to the mail house to see if we can reduce the rate from there. The other thing is the LESs. We've been coordinating on the candidate cards. We have received a number of complaints, which the LESs are investigating regarding the playing of cards at certain stations. I know there was in one instance where a board operator played something back-to-back. There have been other complaints about carts not being played at all in particular on particular days. So the LESs are following up on each of those and will actually be able to post on the site at least the information that we have, that the LESs have in terms of carts being played. I know there was also a question presented to us, but keep in mind that each station submits cart logs to us in different formats. And so being able to, one, look through that information and compile that information just takes us a bit of time to do that. Once I have the final list from the stations, I've requested that by tomorrow and be able to clean the list up. I'll post also at the beginning of the week on Monday the process by which candidates or slates are requesting the list to do their own mailing. Remember, we're not sending the actual list. We're sending the list to the mail house that the slate or the candidate will be using because we don't want to give someone, you know, a member's information. So that process will be posted so that people can follow from there and they can continue on with their mailings should they have the necessary funds to do so. Then we'll be moving on, after next week, after we finalize everything for the ballot mailing, onto the candidate on-air forum. And so we'll be moving into the process for that. And I actually have an issue that I'd like to address, particularly for KPFK, which, you know, I believe they have they have the largest number of candidates, and based upon the language in the updated that the PMV voted for, it would require the LES for KPFK to hold 10 on-air forums based upon the language of the guidelines for that. And so, you know, wanted to have a conversation about how realistic that is, something I spent previously. But now that we're in the time of implementation, that's definitely going to be difficult going forward. So that's my report at this point. I wanted to keep it really short because I know people have questions, particular as it pertains to WPFW, which is another discussion, as well as the staff election portion for KPFA. That's it.
Okay.
Janet, thank you very much for the staff.
Now, before I call on anyone, let me just clarify how I think we should proceed. I would suggest that we talk about whatever questions people have in general, except for the last question that Eljoy posed to us, which is concerning the KPFK on-air debate situation. I think we should hold that off as a separate discussion afterwards. And also, anything about WPFW we already have on the agenda as the next item, so let's hold off on that as well. Okay, so... other topics are fair game. So I heard Maria Elena and Janet Kay. Who else?
Lauren Michael.
Okay, Lauren.
Michael Novick to the
stack. I'm sorry, was that Serene?
Yeah.
Okay.
Michael Novick to the stack, am I audible? Oh,
yep. Okay, I want to put myself on the stack. Anyone else? Okay, we can take more later. Start with
Janet Kay, point of information?
Yeah.
Maybe we could do the same thing we did the last time with a four-minute maximum. Is that?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Does that make sense?
Okay. So Nancy, yeah.
Alan on the call, please. Thank you.
Hi, Teresa. Okay, so Nancy, if you can keep that 4 minutes for the question and the answer, okay?
What? It's eight. Oh,
four minutes for the combination of a question and an answer.
And an answer.
This is Serene.
Yes, Serene.
4 minutes seems a bit long. People can compress their questions into 1 minute and a response into a minute and a half.
Let's just see how it goes. We ask everyone to be succinct. Okay, so Maria Elena, go ahead.
My question pertains to your statement regarding sending the list to the mailhouse that the candidate will be using should they have the necessary funds to do so. And I quote your words. I'm very troubled by this statement. I do not understand what the candidates themselves have to fund, and if they do, what the costs of funding a mail-out of their candidacy or ballot combined with a candidacy is. I don't understand that statement. It sounds like we're injecting a very unfair monetary advantage into this whole election process. Would you please address that?
So, sure. What I'm referring to is that candidates and slates can mail a separate mail, not the ballot materials. They can choose if you as a candidate
want to send a note to the eligible voters in your station, you have the opportunity to do so, and I have to provide the list, the mailing list, for you to do so. So I'm referring to that and not saying that candidates have to, you know, mail their own ballots or any of that information. So that is what I'm referring to.
Well, follow-up question, you still have not responded to my question. I mean, how does that not inject an unfair advantage into the election process? So the people who have the money to pay $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, whatever it takes to mail out their added note, are at an unfair advantage. I mean, this rule is completely foreign, as far as I can see, to the whole idea of egalitarian, you know, fair play. And I am very concerned if the Elections Committee allows that possibility to take hold. I'm distressed by that, very much so.
Eljoy, did you want to address that, or if not, I can say something.
I would think, I mean, that's a practice from Pacifica. It's not something new that I interjected into the system.
Right.
So,
right.
So Bob, you can.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, I agree with you in spirit, Maria Elena, that I think it does inject an unfair advantage to those who can raise money. But unfortunately, this is something that was set up by California law for all corporations that have membership, that it requires that all members of any corporation be legally entitled to communicate with all other members of that corporation. And that there was actually a court case in, I think, San Francisco, where a public radio station, the management tried to interfere with sending a mailing by a group that wanted to support a particular action by the station, and they were blocked by the judge, saying that that law makes it, you know, an absolute right of a member. As long as they can pay for it, they can send mail to other members. Now, you know, I think we need to be creative, and at a future point, it's obviously too late for this year, but to try to figure out a way to rebalance the scales so that, you know, we don't have, like in government elections, where those who have the money can dominate the
Well, I was blocked in my own election process 3 years ago from getting access to any kind of email listing or address listing of the members of KPFT.
4 minutes.
Well, I'm serious, but I want to know, that's a very important rule, and I want to know exactly, you know, what's the name of that case? Would you send it to me by email?
Yeah, I don't have it any longer. It was from several years ago that I looked at this, but there are people, perhaps on this call or elsewhere, who could give the background of, and just look up the legal citation as far as the part of the California law that provides this. So every member has the right to communicate with the list, but as Eljoy expressed, that doesn't mean you have the right to the list. It means that what Pacifica needs to do if someone wants to mail to the list is to have whatever mailing house you're going to use as the intermediary, sign a confidentiality agreement with Pacifica to not disclose the list to you or anyone else, and then send whatever material you want to send. So that is a right. Okay, so let's go on to
Alan for the stack.
Okay, I'll add you to the bottom of the stack.
Marion, I'd like to be on the stack also.
Sure. All right, so next is
Janet K. Thank you. Okay, yes, and I agree. It shouldn't be about money, but too bad that it is still. I related to what Maria Elena was talking about. This is the first time we're doing online balloting, and so the addresses for those who opt out of the paper ballots, the email addresses, will they be provided in the same kind of way? That's one question. I have another.
Okay, let's do one at a time. So, Eljoy, are you clear what the question is?
So the question is, someone who wants to, since we're doing online voting and they've opted out of mail, will they be able to send an email to those who've opted out of mail? Is that the question?
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
So my interpretation of that, and why I agree with you guys in the spirit of this, that, you know, it's sort of a money issue, but because we're doing it for the first time, and if someone has opted out of mail, what I can do is then set a process by which, because people technically have opted out of mail for the ballot materials, but not necessarily from a language standpoint, opted out of receiving candidate-related mail. And so I think that's another opt-in process as to which, if they wanted to receive additional information from a candidate via email. So that's something I have to, I need to think about that a little bit more.
Okay, thank you. And then talking about the mailing of the paper ballots, where will the paper ballots be mailed from? When will the voters expect to receive the paper ballots? Where will the completed paper ballots be mailed to? And I have another question, but if my time runs out, I'd like to get back on the
Sure. Yeah, so, and I know you had asked me that question before, and unfortunately I don't have my, when I was on the phone with the mailhouse, I forgot to ask that, so my apologies on that. So that's something I can take a note right here and talk, I have to talk with him again in the morning, so I will take note of that and I can send that in an email. Your question is to where it's being mailed from and where the ballots have to be mailed back to. It is going to be one particular place. And that is the reason why the time frame of the return, someone asked me why didn't I do the minimum. I think it's like 35 or 40 days, and I wanted to provide as much time for people to return ballots as possible because of that. I think your third question, it was where the ballots mailing from to.
4 minutes.
What was the
okay. Yeah, just go ahead. Finish up, Eljoy.
Yeah, I missed the third part of that question. It was where the ballots were mailed from, where they'll be mailed back to, and then what was the other quick question?
And when will voters expect to receive their paper ballots?
Yeah, so it's set up right now that they should be hitting mailboxes on October 15th for those who are receiving by mail. And now that may be a day or two for some people depending on, you know, where they live. But it's set up so that online voting begins on October 15th and that somebody should be receiving their ballot in the mail October 15th, if not the day after.
Okay, next is Serene. Serene, are you with us?
Yes, sorry, trying to unmute. Thanks. Hi, Eljoy. How are you?
Hi.
Question about the election cards and when the schedule is going to be posted. When and where will the schedule of intended airplay be posted?
Yes. So I mentioned that in the in my update. The schedule and stuff will be posted on the elections website. So the LES is we have a call on Thursday, tomorrow. So they are supposed to give turn that information in so that it can be posted on the website by our meeting tomorrow. So you should see it on the web. The schedule should be on the website for the station in the next couple of days. And as I said, just give us some time on that because each station is, you know, giving reports and logs at different times. So even as people are calling in or emailing with complaints about cards in their play, you know, we haven't really gotten a good system yet doing that entirely. So just bear with us on that.
Okay, and for the stations that have been playing cards, because I think in New York, I have not heard any cards. But I did hear D.C.'s cards, and I hear that they're playing in Houston. Are the stations sending you logs from the engineers certifying that it played X thing at X time?
Yeah, I can't attest to at this current moment if I personally have from, say, like WBAI, they could be just sending them directly to the LESs, directly to the LES, because I know that's happening at one of the other stations as well. But I know I get from WPFW and KPSA. I'm copied on that email. So, again, you know, the LESs and I have a call, our regular call tomorrow, which will be, you know, 1 week after, you know, the cards have started playing. So we should have some reporting from them.
Okay. Do you think it might be possible to send at least one log from each station to the elections committee list so we can see what you're getting? Because, as I said, I don't listen 24/7. I do sometimes sleep and do other things, but I've not heard it on DAI at all. I've not heard one.
Okay, that's good. That's good to know, and thank you very much for that. And anybody listening, if you, you know, are listening to the station and you don't hear anything or you're hearing double crimes, please email us so that's something we can investigate. That was the only way we were able to determine that one of the stations actually played carts back to back. By you know, we now know it was by accident, but the only way we know is if people, you know, email us and let us know. So thank you.
Okay,
very much.
And that's why I think people are so passionate about getting the intended list so they can see whether there's any adherence.
Sure. Thanks.
Okay. I have Michael, myself.
I put myself on the list early.
You're right.
I don't know where I'm at.
You are next. I forgot. And then Michael, myself, Teresa, and Marion. So go ahead.
Okay.
And then Janet Kay again.
Yeah, and then Janet Kay. And whoever has a beeper going off in the background occasionally, if they could mute, I would.
Oh, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, Bob, please put Nancy on questions.
Sure.
And before somebody has already done one, let me get in.
Before anyone goes twice. Okay, go ahead, Lawrence.
Okay, so I have two questions, which I think are pretty simple. Some people have told me that they've been able to, as a result of opting out of a paper ballot, have been able to vote online, and so I'd like an answer to that. Then the other question is that when you go to the election website, it says, like, for instance, if you want to listen to CARTS, KPFT, you can be able to click onto a hot link and listen to the CARTS for KPFT. But when you go to KPFK or even BAI or KPFA, that's not the case. Is there any particular reason for that?
It could just be that they haven't put it on, the LESs haven't put it up on the, put a post up on the site. That's something I can follow up on our call tomorrow as well.
Okay, and then the online voting?
Online voting opens October 15th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have people been able to vote online, or as a result of
opting out
of the paper?
Not until October 15th. Yeah, voting doesn't open. And I received emails about this before, and you know, if you know, those on this call can help with that. Nobody is voting online for anything for Pacifica at this point. Online voting does not open until October 15th. So
the people who are telling me that they registered and voted are really actually mistaken?
Yes. Right now the only thing you can do is register to opt into voting online. On October 15th, those people who have done that will get an email that ballots are now open and they can go cast their vote.
Okay. Thank you.
No problem.
Okay, Michael.
I had two or three questions. One is I wanted to make sure that the scheduling of the carts is in accordance with the plan that we came up with that was approved by the PMB as far as the day parts. So I think that's why we're interested in seeing what the schedule is.
Sure.
If you can make sure that is how it's being scheduled, that would be very helpful.
No problem.
The other question I have is about other complaints besides the playing of the carts. I received a report that one of the programmers, after airing a couple of the carts, then went off about how you should vote out the old board. And so I'm wondering how those complaints are being received and handled.
Did he specifically say that he's in favor for a particular candidate? Or if he's just talking about the election in general, that's different.
Well, to say vote out the old board specifies, there are people who are candidates who are running for re-election. So I think that I would consider that a violation. If you're saying you have to name people, if you're saying that's not a violation because they didn't name a particular candidate, I would ask you to reconsider, because I think that's a violation. And then I forgot my other question.
Okay, well, we can come back to you, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so my question is simply, you mentioned that the LESs are going to be posting the staff list at each station, but does posting include not just physically posting, but also emailing them to the listservs of staff at all five stations?
So I don't have particular listservs, and I don't believe the LESs have access to the listservs, but after the information is posted, and someone on staff wants to share that, it'll be an electronic copy that we can also send as well. That can certainly be shared electronically, yes.
Okay, well, let me clarify my question. I guess what I'm really asking is, can what has been done in the past be done again, which is that not to leave it to voluntary initiative, because that may fall through the cracks, but rather to have each LES who's presumably already been working with their program director at their station on the carts and perhaps other matters, to just ask them to please, either the general manager or the program director, to please forward the roster to their list, whatever list they have, email list of staff, so that, you know, as soon as possible, staff knows that they have, if their name is not there and they qualify, that there's a process that they can appeal to be added.
Yes, that's fine.
Okay, thanks. Okay.
Bob, can I come back?
Sure.
Go ahead. I remember my question.
Yeah.
My other question was, there's some confusion here because of the new record date. What happens to the people who, under the old record date, were included at the beginning? In other words, if you had become a member sometime in July, are those people grandfathered in and still able to vote? Or have some people?
So this was a big part of contention when I issued the memo on the delay of the election process, because from my perspective, it is not the fault of that particular voter, because Pacifica did not have the necessary funding. While I understand the record date is tied to the ballot mail date, and that certainly has to move, disenfranchising someone because the corporation did not have the necessary funding to move forward with the election, my intent was to include them. The other thing is that we don't know how many people it is at each of the stations as of yet will be losing access. And so that's why it's something that I also, one of the things that I'll do with the list is to determine who, what is the gap? If we're just talking about, a dozen or so people at each station, or are we talking about 5,000 people at, each station? We don't know. From my initial memo, my intention was to keep it to enfranchise people, because I'm always about not disenfranchising voters. And just, adding the additional based upon the record date. But, I think we can have that conversation again when we have our next meeting, and I know and have posted, what those numbers look like. It may, we may be only losing 100 people or 20 people.
Okay.
But you're saying that you're that currently you are thinking that we might lose some as opposed to just supplement with the more recent.
It's my intention to supplement, but, everybody else has different legal interpretations that they should be removed.
Okay.
But from my initial memo and from my initial belief, I don't believe in disenfranchising voters.
Okay. Teresa.
Okay. First of all, there is a rumor, and forgive me for addressing a rumor, but there is a rumor, so I'd like you to tell me if you can. Are there many, can you tell me approximately how many voters at each station are received waivers, so they actually haven't given money and they haven't put in any volunteer hours? Is there a large number at any of the stations of people that are voting that didn't give money or put in volunteer hours?
So here, so here's the thing on waivers. I only have from, I believe, one particular station that specifically sent me a list, and it wasn't a very long list at all. I think it was like a a handful of people, and specifically identified them as a waiver.
Okay, that's all I needed to know. Okay,
right. There's no like large list or push. Now that's not to say if a volunteer list was sent to us and it wasn't specifically identified that these people received waivers or did not volunteer, we have no way of knowing that.
Mm-hmm.
Information ball.
Could you ask them that question? Let me ask you this: have you seen the total number of volunteer lists from all the stations?
Yeah, and that's posted on the site. But is it
so? There's not real. Are those? Are there any real large numbers of those either?
No, there's not a real large, like, good, 50, 100. Like I'm looking at one email, and they're, from it was only KPFK that had a fee waiver, that had waivers. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 is 12.
Okay, that's fine. Okay.
Yeah. So
my second question is, are we clear that, because I was, people got a little paranoid when John Prophet went on vacation and Efren said, oh, we don't have the money to pay postage and mailers. Are we clear that the mailers will go out on time because the postage and the mailers are going to be paid for?
If I might comment on that.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah.
Hi.
The money is still being collected as stations are doing their fund drive.
Mm-hmm.
So the PNB mandate, the motion is quite clear, but it is dependent on the money being collected from stations.
Mm-hmm. Well, is it a high enough priority that if somebody says, "Oh, we don't have pension money or we don't have health care money," that the money's going to be grabbed from that? Because people are ready like to sue if it does, this mailer doesn't go out because they're
Teresa,
just paranoid that we're not going to have a
election. If any station misses a payroll or misses its health care payment, they'll be sued for that too. So it's between a rock and a hard place.
Oh God. Okay.
But
so
no, if the board said it's a top priority, so it'll be a top priority. And if somebody misses a payroll, then it's going to be very, very severely problematic for Pacifica. So, choose your poison.
Okay.
Time for Teresa.
Thank you. I just wanted to be sure. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Next is Marion.
Bob, can I get back on the stack, please?
I'll add you to the bottom of the list. Sure. Marion.
Okay, I'm off mute, and I apologize for this periodic beeping in the background. Okay, I think it was Maria Elena who brought up the issue about the candidates being able to pay for mailings to the member list, station's member list. And I just wanted to reiterate my concern. I wasn't aware that was a possibility. I'm not sure how many people have ever done that at WPFW. But D.C. in particular is an area of extremely high income inequality. And our base audience, the people that we should be drawing from as candidates, most of us don't have that kind of money. It would be a very unfair election, in other words, to have people who have the option. And another part of this is that this is out of California law. I'm not going to go into this
too much longer, but it's just that Washington, D.C., we're already a colony of the rest of you all in the contiguous 48 states plus Alaska and Hawaii. And that goes back to endemic systemic racism because of the population of Washington, D.C. We get pushed around by all the states. And here to say that this is a California law, so therefore D.C., you know, I understand that this is the Pacifica Network, but there's several problems in this kind of a policy. So just because we don't get heard from that often, the people of the District of Columbia, nobody cares who we are, nobody cares what happens to us. They're in the process of trying to literally change the population. We are dealing with ethnic cleansing here, and so this is just one more problematic thing. So I just wanted to share that. Thanks.
Thank you. Yeah, good point.
Maria Elena on the set.
Okay, I'll add you to the end of the list. Next is Nancy.
And then Alan, Teresa Allen also.
Okay.
Thank you.
Nancy.
Okay, I think Lawrence wanted to be on again before Teresa.
I have him down. Go ahead, Nancy.
Yeah. Okay. I may have missed something when I was dashing back and forth. About posting the card schedule. When you said please call us, let us know if there's any quality or cards are being played back to back or something like that. It makes me worry that maybe you don't really understand or the LESs don't understand. How can we check? Unless we're listening to the radio and watching the clock constantly, and not too many people, board members, have that luxury to do that. So we really need a posted card schedule on the website where not only just a few board members who have time to check, but these candidates' friends and their moms and their pops or whatever are their friends and relatives, enlist them to check, because this is too much work, as you know, for any one LES or even if the LES has a committee, which they don't. So those things need to be posted quickly on the website and needs to be kind of firm. And the most next important thing is adjustment and audit needs to be done quickly, not after the election's all over. It's too late. And that's what happened at the last election. Too late. And then trying to make amends, oh, so much damage has already been done. Okay, and then I would also suggest that look at the last election and the audits and the people with the biggest violation, the programmers had the biggest violations. We had one program with 14 violations. I mean, catch those time schedules, those time slots. And I already checked and I already found one. I mean, it's awful. And then I have no way to communicate with my LES except by email. And then some of our computers have been hacked. This is a very political type group, not all of us, but and so I don't even know if the NES or you or the LES is getting my emails. So, you know, audit quickly, adjust quickly, add that whoever didn't get it. And then I would also look at the cards that have something critical of management and take extra care on those, because those cards will be cut. Most likely. Okay, and the other thing is, on a happier note, the envelopes. It will be really nice to have a color on the envelope, because some people, when they get the ballot in the mail, they immediately vote and send it. But some people wait until the very last minute because they want to get more information from the candidate forms. And so then they have to go digging in their mail to find that envelope. So on the election, one of the elections, we had light blue color at KPFT. And so I could find it quickly, okay? And so if I don't think it cost too much because we asked the last time, but and they said yes, but it was not done. So maybe the NES just forgot about it. I don't know what happened, but
okay, Nancy,
a lot blue or something. Yeah. Okay. And volunteer. I forgot what I was going to say. Oh yes. So about the staff voters list, if you could do a physical one, order a physical one placed in the broadcast.
Yeah, she already said that.
Oh. Okay. Okay. Good. As well as the email to the listener.
Yep. We discussed that. Go ahead, Eljoy.
Okay, so first, I'm sure everyone appreciates that maybe sometimes you guys forget this, that we are not full-time employees, and the priority within which,
you know, the work that needs to be done. So, yes, I've already stated that we're going to post the schedule, but please bear with us. You know, I'm trying to, you know, prepare the information for the ballot mailing. I'm trying to respond to campaign violations. As we are doing the best that we can within a time frame in order to produce things. So the schedule will be posted. By no means am I asking someone to sit by a radio 24/7 and report stuff to me. I just mean if you hear it or if you notice it, you can send it to us. Regarding the color on the ballot, that's something that I gave included in a report some time ago. That we would be doing something on the envelope to, you know, to help it stand out for people to return their ballots from there. So yes to all of what you're saying. We're doing the best that we can as quickly as we can and within the time frame that we can. And quite honestly, even if I could be up 24 hours working for Pacifica, I would not because that's insane. We're doing the best that we can within the time frame. But yes, all of the issues that you mentioned is something that is already being addressed, or something that it was already in previous reports.
Okay, Nancy, have we reached the 30-minute point on this item?
Oh, way over. We were supposed to finish at 8:45, but I'm sorry.
At 9:45.
Alan moves that we add another 10 minutes for questions.
All right, so let me just point out what's left on the agenda. We have the question that Eljoy asked us about the L.A. candidate forum situation. Then we have an item on from our agenda about the WPFW delegate situation. Then we have setting the next meeting date of this committee, then the KPFT vacancy, and then minutes, and if we get time, cost-cutting measures. So there's a chunk of things still ahead. So the motion is for 10 minutes. Is there any objection?
I object.
Okay. Do you want to propose a shorter time?
No, I want to suggest we move on. It took us half an hour to get quorum on this call. What we lose at the end, we can't always make up. Let's go.
So we've already had 8 minutes.
I don't think this is debatable.
Right, it's not debatable. So, Michael, would you please call the roll? This is on the motion to extend this item by 10 minutes.
Okay, just to be clear, we're saying another 10 minutes because it's already been extended.
That is correct. That is correct.
Riley, Teresa Allen?
Allen says yes.
Jim Brown? Jim Brown, still on the call?
Yes. I'm still on the call, and I'm hoping we get to the WPFW item.
Me too.
So how do you vote, Jim, on extending 10 minutes?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, Marielena Castellanos?
Castellanos says yes to the extension.
Marion Douglas-Ungaro?
Mrs. Marion, I vote yes.
Janet Coburn?
Yes.
Bob Lederer?
No.
Michael Novick, I'm passing. Lawrence Reyes?
Lawrence?
I
was on mute. No.
Serene Roberts?
I just want to be clear. We were voting on not extending the NES report for 10 minutes. The meeting itself goes for another half an hour, and we can get to the other things, correct?
That's right. That's correct.
Okay. I'm not sure everybody understood that. No.
Nancy Zavarin-Aratomi?
Yes.
Peter Tucker?
Abstain.
I pass. I'm going to vote no. I have one.
Jim Brown, I'm going to change my vote to no.
Okay, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 yes, and I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 no's and 1 abstention. I think that fails because you need a majority.
Actually, you need 2/3 because it's an amendment to the agenda.
All right.
So, okay, so that does not pass, so we move on with the agenda. So the next item is, well, actually, I did promise Eljoy that we would get back to her on the L.A. forum situation. So does everyone understand the question about could be 10 hours of airtime under the motion that the PNB passed? So did you want to add anything, any clarification to what you're asking, Eljoy?
Yeah, so basically, based upon what was passed, it would mean that KPFK would have to have 10 on-air forums in order to meet the requirements based upon the language presented. It's only 4 to 5 people at each, you know, not only being a scheduling nightmare, but then the station then becomes, you know, all focused on, you know, candidate forums for a period of time. And so I know that the committee and the board, you know, passed this and just wanted to know how much leeway we have in implementing this.
Okay, I'm going to suggest that we limit this conversation to 5 minutes. So is there any objection to 5 minutes on this point? Okay, hearing none, then that's what we'll do. Let's start with the KPFK people, and then others can join. So do any of you want to address this?
Yes.
Go ahead, Lawrence.
So, Joey, in order to not disenfranchise any of the candidates and also the voters, are you actually looking at having 5 people, 5 candidates each on each panel and having 10 panels?
No, that's what we would like to not do.
Okay.
But based upon the language of the motion that was, you know, that was passed by the board, that would be the requirement.
Okay, so the follow-up is, if that's not the requirement, How do you intend not to disenfranchise any of the candidates, only of the listeners on being educated and informed as to how they will vote?
So the LES is sorry, 1 second. The LES is proposing on having roundtable discussions and then having them rebroadcast on air. She has a specific proposal that I can share, but I wanted to see. Hold on a second. I don't know where the pass button is.
I think she has some.
Oh, wait. No. Sorry, guys.
It's okay.
The pass button. Sorry. So her proposal is, would it be a possible, I'm just reading her language, for me to host a roundtable community meeting that would then can be rebroadcast on air in parts or something like that. Because, you know, basically having 4 to 5 people, you know, there are 60 candidates in total at KPFK. I mean, that's including staff, but so that would just be a nightmare in terms of scheduling and, you know, just the content of the station. So her proposal is to have a roundtable community meeting that she can shift and change the candidates, and then that be used to air on the station to comply with the rule.
Okay. Michael and then others can join.
Okay. I find that confusing. I don't know. We have had a long history of having many multiple fora on KPFK in the past. I think last time there were at least 8, and plus Spanish language, and the time before that probably almost as many. So I don't see it as a problem, honestly. I think that 10 fora with 5 people on each, maybe we can recruit other people besides the LES to conduct them. I realize that's a lot of work for her, but I think that might be a solution, is to get some additional volunteer moderators who would go through the same set of questions so that the LES doesn't have to do all 10. But I think that's a much fairer solution than trying to split up a roundtable of 20 or 30 people a couple of times. And then splice it or something. I think that's more work than anybody thinks.
Okay, we just have a couple minutes left. Is there anyone else who wants to weigh in?
Maria Elena.
Go ahead.
Well, I don't see how any kind of roundtable involving more than 5 to 8 candidates is going to allow for any meaningful discussion with or a reflection of the ideas of any particular candidate. I don't think there's a way to go around it. In fact, I think it should be embraced. This is the golden opportunity for folks who are listening to actually hear directly from their potential representatives on one of the few, if only, community radio stations in their area. So I think having 10 forms and speech in combination with other ways of how they can get the word out as to what the position is. You know, we had one mail-out that was financed by the KPFT funds, and it allowed each candidate to put 150-word position on. That statement when it went out was all on a separate piece of paper. So that's another way for the candidates to get their word out, but in an egalitarian way at best.
Okay.
Time.
Okay. I heard Serene wanted to speak. Is there any objection to extending for 1 minute so Serene can speak? Okay. Hearing none, go ahead, Serene.
I could ask my sympathies, but I think that actually holding a round table and then having to edit it is possibly the worst experience that anyone will ever have, because who decides when to cut off what portion of whose statement? Just grit your teeth, schedule them in 2-hour blocks, or, you know, if the PD can work that out, over a course of days, giving AM and PM so there's a good mix in terms of people's work schedule, and just live with it.
Okay, we're going to have to leave it there and move on to the next meeting date for the committee. Can I get a proposal for, how many weeks from today we should be meeting? And then we can look at the KPFTX calendar.